Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
1-800-Flowers.com knows that a gift is never just a gift. A gift is an expression of everything you feel and helps build more meaningful relationships. 1-800-Flowers takes the pressure off by helping you navigate life's important moments by making it simple to find the perfect gift. From flowers and cookies to cake and chocolate, 1-800-Flowers helps guide you in finding the right gift to say how you feel. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/audio. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/audio.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for November 1st. We hope you had a happy and fun Halloween. I was ranting about ROH yesterday as a black cat. We had all sorts of costumes here, but we're in a new month. We've got so much to talk about. We've got the go home to Crown Jewel to discuss tonight. It was a double tape episode. We're going to talk about a couple of the wonkier things that happened, but some good developments heading into what should be a really exciting PLE. And you've got me on Fightful Select talking about it with Alex Pulowski tomorrow. And on the main channel, you've got Sean, who's going to be joined by Andrew Badala. That should be a really fun one. And we do have Sean in the house tonight. Send in your super chats, as Louise said. Send in your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. I'm not going to do the Fightful Select plugs. I've got the guy, the engine behind it here to talk about anything there. But some unfortunate news breaking earlier today. There were three departures from WWE. One contract that was up, Baron Corbin, who was going to be exiting once his contract is expired. And then two releases in Tegan Knox and Indy Hartwell. Sean, you kind of broke the news on those. Anything that you wanted to discuss there?
Yeah, these days suck. They're really terrible. Got the news this afternoon. Talent were informed this afternoon. So I'll give you guys the quick rundown of how we break this type of thing. It always is free on Fightful Select on our free tier, which you guys can subscribe to. You'll get the headlines of the paid posts and stuff, but you'll also you get free posts. And we always post the news of the release for free on those tiers. And then any additional details we get, we add behind the paywall. We have an update now, but the Baron Corbin news, the Indy Hartwell news, both of those came out of left field in different types of ways. Tegan Knox, I won't say that came out of left field, because even though she was at TV here and there, she wasn't used. She wasn't used on screen. She wasn't used off screen. She wasn't used. Baron Corbin was used. He was at SmackDown like all the time. He was doing dark matches. He was at a Netflix filming that they had on Saturday with a bunch of the wrestlers as well. Indy, for reasons that will be made abundantly clear later on this show, a little bit out of left field, because not only was she factored in creatively into this show, she had been doing a bunch of WWE speed skits as well. And one person in the company joked that that's the most promotion that show gets was Indy Hartwell putting it over on social media. But I did confirm the news with WWE. It was implied to me. I don't want to say implied. It was told to me, oh, well, this is it as of now. And that wasn't like, they're going to do more tonight type of thing. It's just that there weren't more than these three that were told of. So a couple of the things to add to these. Originally, I had said departures. That's because I wanted to make sure that the language was appropriate. And I saw some people say, oh, are you saying that because of... No, I'm saying that because I want to be sure of the language, because earlier this year, there was a certain guy who had creative plans that had videos produced for him after the time in which his contract would have expired. Then all of a sudden he says some stuff, or actually somebody says some stuff about him in an interview, and his contract is going to lapse. And the terminology that we used was pushed back on by Triple H. So I made sure that I got this terminology correct. WWE never used the term released for Tegan and Indy. That's what it was. They were released. Baron Corbin, a little bit different. We've got some more details on when his deal might be up on FightfulSelect.com. But his was basically a notifying that his deal was going to expire and that they weren't going to renew it. Now, I mean, I don't even think that I necessarily have to hide this one, because Brett Lauderdale's already tweeted that Effie versus Baron Corbin is going to be great. But I've had multiple indie promoters ask me if I think that Baron Corbin is going to continue wrestling. And the reason they're asking that is because he never worked the indies before WWE. In fact, that was kind of his gimmick, was that he didn't do the indies when they did the Breaking Ground show that was very good. Indy and Tegan likely will have to clear up some visa stuff. That will be something that they have to handle. But yeah, there's an awful lot going on right now with these. I mean, a lot of people liked Indy Hartwell, obviously. Tegan Knox always made great impressions too. She had trouble staying in the ring, but Baron Corbin is a guy that had been around forever. And to me, the most disappointing thing was like he got really good over the last year and a half. He teamed with Braun Breaker, and nobody would have thought that was as good as what it became. And I encourage anybody that's like, no, he still wasn't good, go watch his match that he had on SmackDown with Carmelo Hayes. It was exactly what I've always looked for out of him. But if you guys are here right now, get in your super chats, Humper Chats, and I'll answer a few before I leave.
Yeah, please leave a thumbs up on this video now. I know what we're talking about is not thumbs up feeling, but it is accurate information. So the more you boost that in the algorithm, the better for us. We do have a couple of super chats and humper chats coming in, including this one from Bad Robot, who says, hello, favorite post show. Sean, on a positive note, I just started season 7 of Suits. Still pretty good.
Sad okay.
sad to hear this news. I'm glad at least Indy was in the ring with Bayley and Candace as her last match. So she was on this episode. That was certainly something that made the watching of this episode a little bit stilted for me. But, you know, Indy, they didn't really transition her fully from NXT to the main roster. I got to see some of the best work of the people that were released, I feel like, covering NXT. I was so impressed with Baron Corbin's NXT run, not as much the single stuff, but when they put him and Braun Breaker together, what a tag team. And what showed up for me watching that was how much he makes his tag partner look good and how much he makes his opponents look good, because Braun Breaker, always great in the ring, he was not comfortable in any of the stuff that they were doing promo-wise for him. he did that tag run with Baron Corbin. It was the most comfortable, most in a groove we've ever seen him. Baron Corbin knew it, felt like just how to maneuver around making Braun Breaker as a hot tag is a sight to see. You guys want to see that at some point in this guy's career. But I always liked, you said Carmelo Hayshon, his matches with a guy like Rey Mysterio, like his pacing in those big guy, smaller guy matches, I think was one of his greatest strengths in the ring. Still will be moving forward, but... and Indy Hartwell too, just a weird timing thing for her. They made her NXT Women's Champion. She got hurt. She got called up. We never really saw the proper reign from her. So, just kind of, not a found footing for her on the roster. And as you mentioned with Tegan, trying to stay in the ring was part of the problem there.
I think that Baron Corbin is, if he does an indie schedule, is going to have an incredible run on the indies, because you look at his match with Chad Gable, like when he was having those matches, like when he worked smaller people, he does not get outpaced by them. I talked to him about that in an interview. You can tell he was a high level athlete, and by that I mean he was on an NFL practice squad for 3 years, and 11 months after his release he was trying out for WWE. And this is something we saw like with Moose and with Mason Madden and even Braun Breaker. A lot of these guys, like within a year of being on an NFL team, they're trying out for WWE. That usually means they could catch on in some sort of professional situation outside of that. But he never got blown up. And I have just started season 3 of Suits, by the way. I watched The Lincoln Lawyer, and it really, honestly, it streamlined my productivity. Like, I was having trouble focusing the last like 6 months, started to watch The Lincoln Lawyer. And I feel lazy when I'm not doing something and I'm watching Lincoln Lawyer and Suits, buddy. I'm on season 3 of that now, but my God. Yeah.
Cardoza, any thoughts on these departures and any thoughts on Suits? Can't say I watched.
Suits is a staple. It is so damn good. You just fall into the whole disbelief that someone could actually pull off what Mike did, and I wish it was me. And he had some racy strong scenes with what's her face, who's married to one of the princes of the UK. So what's her name? Megan? I forget her name.
Meghan Markle.
Anyway. Yeah.
Didn't even know she was on that show.
Oh yeah. As far as the releases, they suck, man. Like, you know, you start thinking about, we said this before, like these things always happen kind of like at the end of the weekends or before something big is happening, and it just kind of sucks that it happened to them. I don't know. I hope it doesn't become a trend where, you know, we start seeing more and more names come out with all the shows that they have and all the time that they're going to be putting on television, you know, these.
Yeah. That was Sean did a breaking news stream earlier today, and that was a common question. And it's tough because that's where your brain automatically goes to, like, are there more, what's going to happen next? We'll see. But right now these are the only three that have been confirmed as far as Sean knows, but we are headed into a PLE weekend as well. And I believe that they're doing Raw in Saudi Arabia as well, I believe. So
no way.
Yeah.
Wow.
I honestly, like, this card is one of the most difficult to predict, like, lineups that I've seen in, I can't remember how many years in WWE. Our great partners at Bet Online have odds set up. Go over there if you guys ever wanted to bet on pro wrestling. Here's your opportunity. BetOnline.ag. I've told you all about what they do across all sports, and they've got games. They got all kinds of stuff, the highest credit card acceptance, the quickest payouts, all that. They've been trusted for over 25 years. BetOnline.ag. If you ever hear us talking about betting odds, that's where you get them from. And a reminder, Grapsody previewed the show this week. They ran today. We had a prediction show yesterday, but right now, Gunther favored heavily over Cody Rhodes. Gunther listed as an 83% chance of winning. Nia Jax favored over Liv Morgan. LA Knight moved into the favorite spot after Andrade was originally favored to win the U.S. title. So those lines have adjusted. The new bloodline is a sizable favorite, the biggest favorite on the men's side. is the new Bloodline, 87.5% chance of winning over the OG Bloodline. Kevin Owens, a big favorite over Randy Orton. Bronson Reed, a slight favorite over Seth Rollins. And then we have Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, by far the biggest favorites on the show at 93.8%. So for some reason, you guys think those are off. You got the opportunity to go over there and make a little money. I can't even point at her. Like she did on Masha.
You know, I always like to say, I had to say on yesterday's show, like, I love picking on Joel Pearl. It's one of my favorite things to do, but I couldn't even dog on him because he turned $25 into $175 for me by betting on Masha Slamovich at Bound for Glory. I'm not somebody who delves into online betting really at all, but when I saw the odds were that stark and Joel said, no, everything story-wise kind of indicates that Masha's going to go over, I said, you know what? I'll throw $25 on it and see. And I guess I have to listen to Joel Pearl more, which is not a lesson that I wanted to learn. But hey, take what you can get there for sure. A couple more super chats and humper chats. We're not going to keep Sean too long. So get yours in now if there's anything that you want to ask. But Jonathan Corona saying, who do you think, in your guys' opinion, who do you see going to TNA or AEW of Baron, Indy, and Tegan? You know, a lot of people were mentioning that Grand Slam show, Sean, in Brisbane. So some people thinking maybe the Australian connection on the ladies' side might be something that pulls them into AEW. But what do you guys think?
I think from a like a surprise open challenge type of thing, having one of them challenge, or I think having Indy challenge somebody at that show and probably come up just a little bit short. It can be a Tony Storm open challenge or something like that that they do there. Honestly, I think they both end up in TNA, and I think that because Jordan's deal is coming up. There's a bunch of deals coming up in TNA, a bunch of big ones. They're going to have some money to reinvest there. Baron Corbin, I think New Japan's probably going to take a look at him. I think that I think he's going to be heavily booked on the indies if he wants to be. He is going to have a very busy schedule. If I were him, I would get a booking agent and just watch those bookings roll in because he is going to do very well in the indies, I think.
Before I ask Cardoza, do you think he'll pursue anything outside of wrestling? Like, he's gotten so much buzz around all of the cooking stuff and the, like, I feel like his personality is such a strength that could see him going into other avenues. Do you think he might be seeking out things outside of wrestling as well?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely think that that's a possibility, and he's a very personable guy. So I definitely think that's something worth keeping your eye on, but he is a guy that will get a lot of heat on the indies. And then when he goes to his merch table or does a signing, there will be quite a few people there to go and see them for a local indie show or something like that. He'll do Bloodsport and he'll do really great at it. He told me recently, go to youtube.com/Fightful. The interview has like no traffic on it right now, but it's likely the last interview he did as a WWE wrestler, where I talked to him about Bloodsport, about the Apollo Crews team, lots of stuff there. But I think that Baron Corbin will do well outside of WWE.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I think Baron Corbin keeps a little more open, but I could see the TNA side locking up both of those ladies. Any thoughts on that, Cardoza?
You know, for me, the ladies, I don't know. I don't know where they'll end up. I know that the possibilities are, it's just kind of weird to me that, you know, they have this relationship, TNA does, with WWE, and you see all these faces that they just say, hey, goodbye, and just continue, you know, they're going to show up there. And when you do little snippets of promotion for TNA and NXT crossover, you see those faces there, which is a little weird. As far as Baron Corbin goes, yeah, it's very weird to me. As far as Baron Corbin goes, I know a few people, one in general, that it's like, hey, I'll sign him.
Is it Matthew Lillard?
Close.
It was a Skeet Ulrich.
Very, very close. Very Scoobadlicious.
Oh my God. There's no way. Linda Cardinelli is starting a wrestling promotion. I knew it.
This is why you're here, man. I'm just talking SmackDown.
Oh my. Listen, honestly, if Scrappy Doo started a wrestling company, I would be all over that
shit. Oh yeah. Gotta be Scrappy.
I would be on the payroll there. I would be a Scrappy Doo pro wrestling shill.
Please, please, Sean, don't say that. Now you know every other tweet will be like, Sean on the payroll. We knew it. That's the only snippet that they'll take from that.
DC Digital weighing in here saying that he could see Baron Corbin as an NFL analyst or a comedic actor. We saw his comedic chops quite a bit.
I think he would be phenomenal as an NFL analyst. And not only that, like the on-screen presence is something that you know you don't have to worry about. And I know a lot of people will be like, oh, well, he wasn't the best at promos. Okay, I'll give you a good example. Brock Lesnar was not the best at promos, if you remember his first run. But then when he goes to the UFC, he was immediately the most charismatic guy there. Like, it translates really, really well to other things. And I think Baron Corbin would be able to do that. If you watch any of his interviews, like that myself or Denise did with him or Chris Van Vliet, he gives great thought out interview question or interview answers. He is one of my favorite people to talk to.
Jonathan Corona asking if you have ring announcing information on tomorrow. I don't
know about that.
Wait, for what?
For Crown Jewel.
Oh, that would be Rome. Rome is there.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I know somebody would have that information here. Because it's down to two people, and because maybe I don't think Lillian over there.
Maybe I have a scoop or three. You know, I don't know.
That's what's up. Well, Sean,
I was saying it without saying it. I was like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
who could possibly have that information? Well, there you go. Scoops Cardoza coming in hot with your commentary scoop. But Sean, anything else that you want to leave us with before you head out of here?
Yeah. So obviously tomorrow or as this airs, went Crown Jewel, I'll have a scoops thread up there. It'll have producers, referee assignments, likely to have planned match times, match order, all that stuff. That's FightfulSelect.com. Best $5. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
A month or $54 a year. It's like a down period for paying for wrestling news. So go over there, help us out. We would greatly appreciate that. Also, I had a story I was going to run today about a few names that Netflix requested. And it's just so funny because when I asked around about some of these names, I heard somebody goes, yeah, I'm requesting Jennifer Lawrence. And I said, okay, I get the point here. I get the point here. But that will probably run Sunday or so. We have a bunch of podcasts on Fightful Select as well. We have a Discord, but Andrew Bedalla is going to join me for Crown Jewel post show. Kate and Alex have, like there are very few other things besides news you can say is a draw to a specific service like this. People subscribe to watch Sands of Blind, which is a play off of a rumor that the shows would be called Sands of Time like 6 or 7 years ago.
It was, but, and how that works is Alex doesn't like watching the Saudi Arabia shows, so he doesn't. And so what happens is I watch them, and I, in the review, tell him what happened, and I tell three lies, and he has to guess what the three lies that I planted in the stream are. So it's kind of a little adventure along the way. But another thing you get on Fightful Select is voting privileges to the Fightful Awards. So
it's about to plug that. I was about to freaking plug that. How about
same
this?
Same wavelength.
So in the Discord, very shortly, we're going to be starting a Fightful Awards discussion there. Now, it won't be the only thing that determines nominations, but the nominations are from you guys as well. And we were so proud last year. Thousands and thousands of votes. Like, it was really awesome. But we also take your input because, listen, I don't have the best short-term memory from stuff that happened 3, 4, 5 months ago. So I want to know what you guys want to see nominated. And also, we might have some different methods. And the reason for that is a reason that I brought up in the Mark Briscoe interview. People loved FTR Briscoe's 1 and FTR Briscoe's 2 so much that it almost split the vote, and third place almost beat both of them as a result. So so two teams that would have gotten like 20% of the vote almost came in and won. So we're going to take some feedback on that. It makes me so proud every year when wrestlers show off their Fightful Awards. Kate is working on something very special for a new visual element of that. But if you want to sponsor the Fightful Awards, reach out to Kate. Also, if you would like to buy a mirror and maybe take her on a date, I understand.
God. I'm just trying to sell a damn mirror on Facebook Marketplace, and dudes are like, hey, I can see half of your reflection in your dusty mirror.
The next trafficking story in wrestling is going to be about your mirror that you just want to sell. Like, that's it.
It's like $55, man.
It's a good deal.
It's a great deal. I'm trying to get some shit out of my apartment over here. My God, I updated the photos now to not have my picture in it because there's too many weirdos in New Jersey.
If I were you, I'd have been like, listen, my dog doesn't speak English, but I can ask her for you if you want. Like,
that's the closest you're getting, my friend. So,
oh, guys, but also we do have recurring sponsorships open. Like, I'll give you a good example. Our good friend Matthew Hooks at Hooked In Voiceover sponsored the Fightful Awards. Then he became a recurring sponsor on this show. So if you want to hear me do your ads from a recurring thing, you can buy like one show a month here on Fightful. Reach out to myself, Kate, or one of the Fightful accounts, either on Twitter or Fightful Select.
But I get commission. Contact me. But I'm also working on some Survivor Series packages as well if you're just trying to pick up like traffic spikes. So lots of different options on the sponsorship side for you.
And if you want to do some work on your package ahead of Erection Day, check out Blue Chew and the code Fightful.
Thanks so much, Sean. Of course, it's what he leaves on.
Of course. Hard pills.
Well, some very accurate and pertinent information regarding the releases from Sean there. We are going to dive into this episode of SmackDown. So keep those super chats and humper chats coming. We have a couple of supportive ones right here from just Ricardo, who says, it's Friday. You know what that means. I'm at work. He always sends from beyond the stream. He always sends us love and support while he's at work because he's the coolest. So we thank you so, so much for that. But let's finally get rocking and rolling into this episode of SmackDown. This episode felt like it was a double tape, Alex. There was one point in it where we had 32 minutes between matches. This was a little bit more of a slog than we've been seeing on some previous go-homes. Kind of to be expected with the circumstances of things. But we still had some good developments. I think the women's title picture kind of had the most love in all of this. We got a lot of things going on with Nia and Liv and Tiffy that kind of leaves the door open for some possibilities there. I think everything else went kind of the way that you would expect, but what did you think overall? I felt like this was a little bit of a downswing headed into the PLE, but kind of to be expected.
It was slow. It was a slow show today. It was just, we knew what it was. We all could read it as well online. but, you know, to the point where I'm watching it, and even the energy coming out of Michael Cole wasn't the same.
Like,
he sounded tired. He sounded worn out. His voice was worn out. It was very not like him. You know, also he's older now, so it's not going to be easy to sit there for 8 hours to do a television show. But that's what it felt like to me. And even the matches, like you mentioned, they just felt like things were dragging.
Yeah, there were two matches on here. One, that women's match between Tiffany and Liv was 2 minutes and 5 seconds. And the Street Profits Pretty Deadly match was just about 4 minutes. So if you were like, feels like the ring times were lower than they've been. Yep, that is the case. So let's get into this, though. We do kick off with Nia, who we continually mentioned this is the best work of her career. That's part of it Nia. Is they have let her say logical things, and I appreciate that. But she basically just comes out to say that she wants to win at Crown Jewel, and she always gets what she wants, and she's going to leave Liv crying on the floor with her dirty, and then you have Liv entering behind Raquel Rodriguez, who looks great. She looks like a superstar in this, and she has Dom at her side. Liv with some really good points in this, too, saying that she retired Becky Lynch to become champion. That she's been champion longer than Nia, and that last time she faced Nia, she beat Nia. So I like when we have Liv Morgan doing things like this, speaking to her acumen in the ring and her logic, instead of being like, my boyfriend's gonna come out and he's gonna interfere with everything. Like, I like when she stands on her, like, ability. It's much more refreshing. So some good stuff there. And then Tiffany Stratton kind of comes in as this X factor, which I really love. She says, you know, she's going to cash in on Liv. And Nia says, yeah, you don't just have me to deal with. You've got Tiffany to deal with. And then Tiffany says, I haven't been a fan of yours recently either, Miss Nia. Don't you get too comfortable. And Liv kind of points out, you know, Nia can't even trust the people that she has around her, and that's not something that Liv has to worry about. But Tiffany gets another shot in here and says she's cashing in on someone, and she wants to know if Dom comes with the title, and then attacks Liv here going into the match. The match I'll recap now, because like I said, it was 2 minutes long, so there's not like a ton to go through, but Nia Jax distracting the ref here so Tiffany can swing the briefcase. But she misses, and Morgan with the schoolboy, and grabs the tights for the pin here. So post-match, you have Jax winding up using the briefcase to lay out Morgan and all of her posse there, and then hitting the Annihilator to stand tall. So they did a good job choreographing who needs to stand tall where to make this work and have some doubt going into Saudi Arabia. I feel like this has been one of the stronger programs, and I actually think they've done a pretty good job crossing this over from Raw into SmackDown. My only thing is, Liv has no contenders or challengers on Raw. Like, this feels like they did a good job with this program because they are slacking so hard on the Raw side. Like, no viable baby faces for Liv Morgan to beat. But this, what we saw tonight, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Here's the thing. I know we have this they're fighting for this title thing that they're doing over there. You know where I'm talking about.
They're not even fighting for the title. They're fighting for Super Bowl rings now that are emblematic of the title. If you guys saw
They're fighting for AEW Dynamite rings. I'm trying really hard to get invested because I know the women are going to do great, right? They're going to do amazing. I personally won't be watching it, but I know that they're going to kill it out there. And it's always good to see progression with the women in any form in shape. So it was cool. I got to say that much. But if I get invested, they're just going to go their separate ways, and that's it. And then I'm never going to get to see Nia just beat the crap out of Liv some more, you know, which is, to me, I enjoy it. I'm a big fan. I'm leaning way more towards Nia than I am to Liv and anything that she's doing right now. Well, I like what Nia's doing. She's my queen right now.
She
queen
feels
of the ring, everything.
Like the force that we were built, she's been billed as. Like,
yeah,
it felt
yeah.
like they were selling us a bill of goods, and now, like, yes. the goods have arrived. Like, she's super. Doing such yeah. good work. Well, Chisholm saying, Nia should have said, I get what I want because my big cousin is the final boss. I get where you're going with that, and there's part of me that does like it, but it's been kind of nice to see Nia step out on her own and, like,
on
nobody has
yeah.
to, yeah, like, lean into any of that for sure. So, some good stuff there. And then later in the back, we have Tiffany with a bump on her head after the briefcase shot from Miss Liv Morgan. But she and Nia run into Bailey and Naomi. Naomi reminds Nia Jax that she's coming for the title shot. And after the break, Bailey and Naomi are going to take on Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. We're going to talk about that match in a minute. But I got to say, we've been talking about Naomi for a while here. I feel like this woman is just always challenging and losing, challenging and losing, challenging
always,
and losing.
Yo.
Picking up some wins, challenging and losing. Like, she is... You can't get more 50-50 than Naomi, and all of the losses are in really big spots, and all of the wins are on the road to her big losses. They have got to figure out what to do with her because she is a full-fledged star. She's an incredibly complete wrestler. They've got to figure out something to do with this character. Either these losses need to lead to a heel turn, she's got to turn on Bayley, something's got to happen because she can't just keep being like, I'm going to fight you for your title and then inevitably losing.
And it's crazy because of where she came from and the heights that she had achieved there to where she's at now. It just feels like she's just the middle of the road again. She's been boxed in.
She was kind of the biggest Royal Rumble surprise this year. Like, Andrade was a good one, but Naomi was like the one I felt like people were most excited for, and they just really haven't gotten anything going with her. So let's talk about this tag match, though. I know my watching of it was definitely affected by the fact that Indy Hartwell is no longer in the company, but was on this show. It was Bayley and Naomi versus Candice and Indy. You kind of have this revolving door of signature moves on Bayley, but Naomi hits the rear view to win because Bayley isn't legal. This is the second week in a row Candice LeRae has looked like an idiot because Candice LeRae hits the lion salt on Bayley, who's not legal. That doesn't always make you an idiot. There's a lot going on in the ring, but after last week, it really felt like Candice LeRae was an idiot because she got distracted by somebody coming, by somebody's music, and she just stood there and looked at her. Like, stop undercutting your own women's division with stuff like that, but yeah. Decent enough match. A decent swan song for Indy Hartwell. I hope the best things for her in the future. She was very well liked from my understanding backstage. She is, I think Sean said she had like 140 matches or less, even in the five mm-hmm. years or whatever that she's been signed at the company. Like, she just has a disproportionate, for reference, Harley Cameron has 40, right? So kind of disproportionate in
that's
that regard.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I felt like when I would review NXT, I noticed a very big difference, as I do with a lot of wrestlers in general and women's wrestlers. Anna Jayce this way too. When she's having consistent reps, whoo, fire. When yeah. it's like start and stop, you can see, I don't want to say regression, but you can see like where that inconsistency
sure.
hurts a little bit. So let's get this girl some consistency somewhere because she deserves it and has a very bright future. She's crushed the rest of what it takes to be a really great wrestler. That in-ring is only going to get better and better. But what did you think of this match? And were you distracted? I felt like I was distracted thinking about, like, oh, they released Indy Hartwell.
I was. So when she popped up, the first thing I said was like, man, she looks familiar. Like, I've seen or heard of her from somewhere. Like, she's done something. Obviously, I was just trying to make light of the situation, you know, because it always sucks when you hear the bad news. But yeah, I just it felt like a throwaway match a little bit to me. Is that bad to say? Like,
well,
okay,
now so it literally is because half of the tag team has been like, go. So like, it's not like they were getting it on a track of some sort. Clearly, like, The division feels like there's a lot of really great teams. We're going to talk about that other match later. But it never seems to really get built into anything. This match feeling like a throwaway. I mean, how could we say it's not at this point? You got rid of one half of the tag team.
It's I don't know, man. It sucks because they got overshadowed by everything that was happening. And you know, key point when you mentioned the whole thing with Naomi, Bayley has kind of, for some reason, I felt like anything with Bayley has regressed a little bit, unfortunately. I know that she's going to be doing, they'll probably stick her in the title picture and she'll like blow up again. But right now it just feels she has regressed a little bit. I can tell you right now, this is completely off topic, that if they decide to bring in Charlotte into anything, Bayley's done. You might as well just go put her on Raw.
Well, the problem to me is she's already faced Nia multiple times for the title. So what are you doing that's title adjacent? Building her up in a tag team with Naomi would be cool, but are they a tag team? Is there going to be dissension? Like, I keep waiting for Naomi to turn on Bayley because Bayley keeps having success and Naomi doesn't. But, like, there's slow burning and then there's just, like, you know when you put something over a candle to watch the flame die,
yeah,
and it takes forever, and then you take it off and the spark is still there and won't go out? Like, that's how slow the burn of this Naomi story is with Bayley, if that's what they're doing. So the reason she doesn't feel like she's commanding authority outside of her name right now, which is still has a ton of star value, right, is because it just feels very stalled, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like whenever you see these tag teams just being put together out of nowhere, it's because they don't have any real direction for them by themselves. We've seen this happen thousands of times, and the tag teams actually come out to be pretty damn good. But I don't know, man, especially with Naomi and Bayley right now, who have, to me, unfortunately, have felt that they've taken a little bit of a step back. I wonder what they can do with them.
We will see. We will see. DNC Digital, we were talking about how the belt is actually going to be rings for the respective winners. He said, like, Triple H, you win a belt but you can't wear it on TV, you have to leave it after the match. Yeah, one night you get a ring though. No, not on TV either. Like, it's a belt that doesn't really mean anything, and then you're also not taking that belt back with you as the winner. You're getting rings instead. Why not just compete for a ring? I don't know. It seems very convoluted. I get why they're doing it, but it's weird that they're doing it. Will Chisholm saying, I think they're going to do Naomi and Bayley versus Jade and Bianca. Ever since she came back, she's been linked to Bayley and Bianca. And Bianca still hates Bayley, so Naomi is going to have to choose. That's not a bad call. I just feel like that might be an intermediary program, but it feels to me like we're probably headed toward Jade versus Bianca by the time we get to Mania season.
Yes.
Is that where you're thinking too?
Yeah, 100%. There's going to be dissension there sooner than later. Someone's going to want to turn on someone.
I mean,
or maybe they just want to fight.
Could be.
You ever just want to fight your friend? Like, just punch him in the mouth?
I'll fight you right now.
I want to jaw jack you right now.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We're talking all about tonight's SmackDown. We're talking about Crown Jewel, which is going to be live tomorrow. You can catch the post show here on the main with Sean and Andrew Badala. Sean was on before talking about the releases. You can also catch me and Alex Pulowski on FightfulSelect.com doing what has ended up being our most popular show over there, this Sands of Blind format, where Alex doesn't feel comfortable watching them ethically, so I watch them and I plan three lies, and he has to detect where they are. It's a very, very fun format. A lot of super chats coming in for the ladies. Thank you so much. Sweet and Sassy Creations says they need to do the right thing and let NXT have a run with the tag belts for the women. Now, I say this a lot with NXT, and it's more true than ever because you now have Steph Vakura, who just showed up. You have the former Delta, Zarya now. You have Julia showing up. Their, like, division is stacked. It's pretty top heavy, but it is stacked with some incredible women's wrestlers. The booking there needs some help. I really think the tag belts on NXT more would be so beneficial because they have so many women there and they do a really good job.
Wherever you live, whatever you look like, Buckeyes from all backgrounds know bullshit when we see it. And when JD Vance, Bernie Moreno, and MAGA peddle it, they're trying to turn us against our neighbors while they take away our freedoms. So we say, oh no, you don't spread hate in our state. We're voting for Sherrod Brown and leaders who care about us more than themselves.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Of screen time for women in NXT. The booking, rarely for me, but the screen time, very, very good on the representation for women's standpoint. So it would be nice. It would be nice if those tag belts hung out, but they're on Bianca and Jade, and they're not going to be just like working NXT for a while, I don't think.
No,
so.
Yeah.
So let's move on to this Kevin Owens promo. This is short but effective, and it's such a telling thing to me because Kevin Owens doesn't say anything that's like that groundbreaking as far as a wrestling promo goes. But damn, like when you get a wrestler who can act even just like a little bit as well as Kevin Owens can,
he just
says really simply, just like one of those in your car promo feels of just like, I never wanted to hurt Randy Orton. He says he looked up to Randy, but now he has to hurt him. And that's kind of it here, but the tone of his voice, the volume of his voice, the command with which he says it, like Kevin Owens is full on the dark side now. I love this. I love this from KO. I love, love, love. I just love everything Kevin Owens does, to be honest. But like him, before everybody was justifying their heel turns in WWE, which was overdue, we needed heels that people could relate to. Kevin Owens was always that guy. Kevin Owens was always standing on everything and making logical connections to everything. So this was short but effective. And later in the show, we get Randy Orton talking to Cody. And Randy says, sorry, Cody, but by the time I'm done with Kevin Owens, there's not going to be a lot left to him. And Cody kind of says, man, I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't have Kevin Owens to beat up. And Randy's kind of like, ha, maybe I'll take his place, which I kind of like because it's Randy Orton, I think, hinting like, I'm coming for that title. Like, we're cool. We have a common enemy, but that title is still the thing that I'm going after. So I thought both of these segments were effective. What did you think?
Yeah, I like Kevin Owens just being this mysterious, crazy a-hole who just puts together these wonderful promos of telling you what he's going to do and what he wants to do without telling you what he wants to do and he wants to do. So you just best be scared and run away. You know, like this Kevin Owens is to me the best Kevin Owens. I don't know how long this will last for. You know, I don't like him flip-flopping a lot. I want him to kind of just like just stay heel for a long time and just run shot through everyone. To be completely, even if he doesn't win a title, just have him go crazy, you know, show people that, you know, anyone, even a man of that body type. I heard there was some discourse on the internet about that stuff.
There was some comments from Cody Rhodes that were horribly taken out of context. Please listen to the full interview.
Yeah, please listen to it. Thank you. That's where I was going to go, by the way. The internet is weird sometimes, but yeah, I want to see Kevin Owens in a larger role before he ends his career. I feel like it might be coming down that way. And I want to see him kind of just like run shot, like I said before, put a major title around him. And I want to see what he can do with it. You know, I liked him when he was NXT champion, but when he was NXT champion, I was so deep in at that time into NXT and what he was doing, and you know, when he came up and beat the crap out of Cena every week, I was like, bring this guy up. So I would hope that they would give him that.
One of the most effective uses of John Cena at that time was that open challenge, and Kevin Owens being the guy to answer it in that way was so perfect. Perfect. Kevin Owens to me, heel Kevin Owens, dark horse to take the title off of LA Knight, maybe, and have a nice consistent, solid U.S. title run. I think that could be a really, really cool kind of this stage of his career move. I think it's probably going to go the way of someone younger. Like, this might end up on Carmelo Hayes. This could end up on Andrade. This could eventually end up, like, on Santos Escobar. Who knows? But I think, like, it just feels like the world title is going to be wrapped up in this Bloodline stuff for a while.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, I still feel like Kevin Owens having some sort of gold around his waist is, it's valuable. It's a valuable thing. But Cardoza, we're talking about PLEs today. There's still so many pay-per-views happening. There's so much that people are asking you to shill out money for. Baseball for the World Series. While incredibly depressing as a Yankee fan.
We're not talking about that.
It was accessible during the playoffs, but during the season, they make it really hard to watch. But, my friends, you want a little taste of that AEW catalog? You could check it out in a different country. You want lower pay-per-view rates, perhaps? Well, NordVPN's got you
covered. I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Yes, it is.
NordVPN, they, I think Sean had said on a previous show this week, tentatively agreed to a 2025 deal with us, said we're going to even throw more money at you than we did in 2024 because they're so awesome to us. So please use NordVPN, tell NordVPN on social media that you found out about them through us. Genuinely one of the best partners we have. Their money makes a lot of the shows that we do possible, sincerely. And when you use the code FIGHTFUL on a multi-year deal, whoo boy, you legitimately save so much money. And man, I feel like I see more security hacks and stuff now than ever. Like, everybody's accounts are getting hacked with stuff, and just make sure all your stuff is secure. Cardoza has talked about before, you can secure your router, so anything that's hooked up to that, you're good to go. They're really, really wonderful to us. We ask that you be kind to them. Let them know that you know about them through us. Sign up with the code FIGHTFUL. So
yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not home right now, and I'm using them right now on this call, on this show, right this second. I'm connected to my actual internet at home using a NordVPN.
Look at you.
I can access everything that's at home as if I was there right now.
Look, we got a testimonial here from Sabrina, who we love around these parts, saying, I got Nord and it's honestly the best thing ever. It really is. It's a phenomenal VPN and you save so much with the code FIGHTFUL. So not even just because we're paid Nord shills, okay? They're really, really, really great. So
you know that's going to make the rounds on the internet.
Oh, bring it on. I want Nord to know. I want them to know. They help fund the show that we're on right now.
That's true. That is true.
Tell everyone, I am a Nord shill.
Thank you, Sabrina. Very good.
She's the best. Thank you so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We'll also take another moment to remind you about FightfulSelect.com. Sean gave you the hard sell up front, but those Fightful Awards are coming. You're going to want to be able to vote. I don't mean to brag, but I do, because I think we have the best awards in the whole wide world. Because it's a controlled environment, I think you get the most fair shake of, like, not every tribalist can vote. Like, WWE Tribal Chief 4792 isn't going to just go and vote through all the WWE things, and AEW Elite Mox whatever is not going to go vote for everything AEW. Like, it's a really, really, really fair shake. So looking forward to that. But we're going to keep moving along. Sean also mentioned it at the beginning of the show. If you're interested in sponsorship, email me at kate@fightful.com. We try to keep the award sponsorships, especially because so many wonderful creators support us. We try to keep those price points accessible. So if you're interested, let me know. But we're moving along to another way too short match, in my opinion. But you have the Street Profits, who desperately needed a win, so I'm glad they did this. But they beat Pretty Deadly, who look, I mean, they always look great, but my God, the outfits, so good.
Always.
So really, really great stuff. But they hit that Doomsday Blockbuster for the win. This was too short, but a fun match. I would like to see these two get to show out properly because they're both really good tag teams, but feels like we're finally getting a long overdue Street Profits push. Them versus Motor City Machine Guns. Are you freaking kidding me? Sign me up for that 7 days a week, twice on Sundays. I don't care. That would make me so happy as a tag team wrestling fan. So this was just a means to an end. This, I think, is just to get, the Street Profits some wins under their belts as they head toward those titles. Yeah. But what do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. First of all, I get to see Pretty Deadly on my television, who I simply adore. And gosh, I got to let you guys know, when I'm not home shilling on NordVPN, I'm going out in my fishnet tank tops that are cut off to my clavicles, you know, so... we share that. Me and Pretty Deadly were pretty tight like that.
Of course. Of course.
That's what always... I think about this match.
You're like, I found the wardrobe inspired. That was all I needed.
It did, yeah.
Well, let's move along to this Bloodline recap. Guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. I thought this was one of the more effective segments that they had. And I love this because it acknowledged that Roman Reigns, despite being an incredibly over babyface, hasn't really changed as a dude in character on the show. And these are the things that I think the quote unquote new era of WWE are paying much closer attention to than the old era did. I really, really like what we got here. But basically, you have Jimmy begging for Roman Reigns to drop the beef with Jay and says that it's all going to fall apart at Crown Jewel otherwise. And then you have Jay coming out and says the fight with Solo was about him getting back at Solo because Solo cost him his title and now he's been messing with his family. And I like that because it's kind of like Solo's been the one that's on the prowl here, right? Jay's been the prey. He was just living his happy Intercontinental Champion life on Raw. He wanted nothing to do with this, but he got dragged into it. And the three of them, he says, that's not all the way fixed, and it's taking Jay everything he has just to be around Roman. He remembers all of the physical, emotional, and mental damage he did. He still showed up, though, because that's what family does. So I love right here that it's like, I'm not just absolving Roman Reigns of his sin. I just have issues with Solo. And because of family ties, I'm also here to talk about that. For the ones before and the ones after, they have to demonstrate family above all. What a strong, strong thing to have Jey Uso, who's been such a key ingredient in all of this, to have him say it, I thought was great. He says that all three of them side by side can run this thing, and that if he's in any way disrespected, though, he is out all over again. And if Roman doesn't like that, he can walk away. Or if Roman can act like his cousin instead of the tribal chief, and they will see Jay at Crown Jewel. Roman gets the mic, considers it, and then ultimately replies to Jay with a yeet, which got a huge reaction from the crowd. The crowd wants a hug, and it doesn't happen, which I think is great. Like, I feel like that's such good, like, I would not behave this way if I was reluctantly joining sides with my family again, who I have these issues with. And I just love this. I love that they're paying attention to the fact that Roman hasn't done anything to earn this redemption. And that they want to all stave off this new bloodline. They want to be on the same page as a family. But Jay's not just going to toss all this aside. Like, it matters to him what Roman did. I think that's actually so important. And I'm glad, because they have the time to build to Survivor Series, that they're including this element in the story. There's no need to rush this, right? So I thought this was one of the most effective Bloodline segments they've done in a hot minute. I really liked what we got out of this. Did you enjoy this as much as I did? I thought this was so logically based and well delivered by Jey Uso.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it in previous episodes, actually like dating to months back when we were kind of speculating what was going to happen and when things were actually going to start picking up for that side of the team. We were going to get a nuclear explosion of love when these guys got back together. And sure enough, the crowd did not disappoint. Now, they all wanted hugs, which obviously was not going to happen because, you know, they're still big bro tough guys, but they gave you the ones, you know, they showed you that's the way they hug and they love each other. There's still a lot to discover and a lot to put together since we're 20 days out, 20 odd days out from Survivor Series, which is, you know, that's not a lot in wrestling when you think about it, cause it's one show a week.
Sure.
So I'm very, very, happy to see them get back together, but I want to see, like, on Raw we saw the whole thing with Sammy, like, you know, things are starting to pick up, like, what's happening, whose sides are we on? This is where it's going to get really fun, because I don't think we're going to get that final face until the day of Survivor Series. I would hope that it comes down to that, like, you don't see the final faces of these two teams being put together until those cages, they're all in the cages, and then you hear the pop of the music, right? It's like I write the stuff for them, you know. That's where I'm waiting to see.
Plus, we've got The Rock to worry about, right? Like, there's so many things that are playing into this, but I thought today was such a pivotal segment to include. I'm so glad that they did. Really well done. We have Motor City Machine Guns backstage, and they just say they're champions now. They want to prove the best, and for some reason, A Town Down Under is going to be their first challenger. They can't pick up a win on NXT, man.
No, yeah.
Why are they the first challengers? How many times have we said, like, just, we've been waiting for them to break up for 6 months, it feels like. Like, what are we doing?
I feel like they don't have, honestly, Kate, I think, and I mentioned this before about the other teams, I don't think they really have anything for them individually. I don't think they can break them up, because I think they would be lost with breaking these two up. They wouldn't know what to do with them. You would end up in a situation like a, and this is not me digging on him, right? But like an Apollo Crews, right? Like, you know, if you were break these guys up, Apollo Crews was doing some really cool stuff, wasn't it, with Baron Corbin?
Yeah.
So where's he at now? Yeah. You know, so it's just like, where would we see Austin Theory? Where do we see Waller? I don't think they're ready to split them up because they don't have anything for them.
Man, Grayson Waller is such a great shit talker. I feel like him and LA Knight is a no brainer. They are missing the boat, and I say this as someone who thinks that Austin Theory is great in the ring and has potential. They never repackaged him after the, I'm going to say, failed U.S. title reign. They threw him in this with Grayson Waller, and now it's actively holding Grayson Waller back. I can see it. So they need to split him up. They need to split him up for sure, but that brings us to our women's fatal four-way, and man, this is when I went to do the research, and normally, I'm not this girl. 32 minutes between matches. That is too long.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know who always is looking up stuff like that? Alex Pulowski, who's joining us now. He's always looking at things like this.
I'm sorry that my mind went somewhere else, and I thought we were going to go into that type of ad, and I'm like...
No more ads. No more ads for today. But
I wasn't even gonna come on the show tonight, Kate. Oh. I wasn't. And then I heard you clamoring for a Grayson Waller and LA Knight feud. Do you not remember the restraining order that Grayson Waller got against LA Knight? Because you're not allowed to punch me, and you have to stay 500 yards from your place of work, so we can't have a match. That was how they ran that thing once. I don't want to see it ever again.
You know what, Alex? How could I forget? I remember how I could forget. I tried to repress most of NXT the 2.0 era from my mind. My God. Because Grayson Waller, while we don't like his finisher and his booking was not very good, has a very high ceiling. LA Knight, we've seen what he can be, and that's what they were doing with those guys. People were getting murdered in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, you punched me. I need a restraining order on you. That's crazy. That's crazy. Thank you for keeping me honest on that, Alex. Yeah.
Their feud began because they both wore the same vampire costume while trying to host Halloween Havoc. It was a different time.
Different time.
Different time, man.
Much as we complain about current NXT, and we do every Tuesday, tune into Sour Graps, because there's a lot to constructively complain about. They did not have anybody fighting over costumes at Halloween Havoc and anything ending in a restraining order. Marked improvement.
Yeah, that's true. Kate, did I miss Kevin Owens lighting Randy Orton's childhood home on fire? Did he break into Randy Orton's home and threaten his newborn son with a t-shirt?
No, he said he's gonna hurt him.
Did he steal Randy Orton's bracelet that had beads and his dog and his wife's
too
name on it?
Far, first of all.
Why is Michael Cole saying this is one of the most personal matches we've ever seen? Like, it can be, I don't like you, you don't like me, let's fight. It doesn't have to be, my God, these men will kill each other. They hate each other so much. Kevin Owens punched Randy in the back of the head and did 4 seconds of like little hopping wrestler stomps.
Okay, but
as backstage beatdowns go, that thing is tamer than a house cat. Like, there's no way like that you could be like, if you're not even going to be able to get your revenge on Kevin Owens, Cody, because there's not going to be anything left of him when I'm done, because he punched me in the back of the head once and then did 4 seconds of wrestler stomps.
Okay, but he did so personally.
Yeah, it's true. I guess he did.
Alex, I feel like as people that covered NXT, I just want to give you a moment on the main here. Like the three people that were released, like we saw Indy Hartwell and Baron Corbin's NXT run up close. If there was anything that you just wanted to I guess note in their releases, I felt like Baron Corbin was such a pivotal piece of getting Bron Breakker up another level from where he was at.
Yeah. I don't think Braun is who he is right now if he doesn't have that time working with Corbin. I think also he just allowed the both of them working together, but allowed Braun to find a new level of just bringing it down and talking like a person.
Big time.
Which he was not doing before this, and he is way more natural on promos. I thought they had a really great chemistry as a tag team. I absolutely would have brought them up as a tag team, let them run for a while. I would have brought them up, had them beat A Clown Down Under on their first night on the main roster, give him a 3-month title reign, let Braun turn on Baron, and then you could have a feud with that, and then you have Braun do whatever you want to after that. There's a lot of stuff you could do. I think there was no reason for them not to. I absolutely think Baron was right to be like, so we're just doing a new tag team with me and Apollo Crews, and we have all of the stuff in common. Like, we did a whole thing with me and Braun in NXT where we were rivals, and then I thought it was pretty cool how we tried to murder Von Wagner with the stairs, and then we became friends because we bonded over trying to crush a man's skull with the stairs, and then we became friends and we became a tag team. We won the Dusty Cup, we won the tag titles, but you can't just be like, hey, give him another partner. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, you can't
out
do
of
that.
Nowhere, kinda, yeah.
So I feel like he's way better than they ever let him be. They're sure. Basically like, you're gonna be the big man who wrestles with 90% rest holds. And that's probably not going to get over with the crowd. So there's a lot more they could do with him. That guy's going to be a god on the indies.
Yeah,
he's absolutely the type of dude who could run shit in TNA. Like, he's a lot better than people think he is because of the way he was instructed to wrestle almost all of his matches. He's still got one of the coolest finishers in all of wrestling when he hits that thing right. So,
I feel
like I'm
the only one that's Team Deep Six over the End of Days. I like the Deep Six so much.
It's very cool, but the end, like, just I had just never seen anybody decide I'm gonna get an extra oomph on my flatliner. Like, just never seen anybody do that. True. It was a really cool way of doing it. Both moves are excellent. Both moves are moves he should finish people with. Very good. I obviously it sucks to have Indy learn that she is being released, and then a few hours later, show her last match she's ever going to have in the company, while also talking about how Bayley was her hero and why she got into wrestling. And this feud, probably continuing a little bit beyond here, might have given her her first ever one-on-one match with her hero. But, sorry, you've been fired. So that really sucks for Indy. Also, Tegan Nox. Like, she was always willing to do whatever they wanted, had nothing for her. She says in a tweet that she's fully healthy and has been, and they're just not doing anything with her. She gave so much to this company, so much of her career with injuries that she fought back from over and over again. I think that she's showing a lot. She has a potential to show a lot of people a lot of different stuff. She's not even 30 yet. Like, there's so much they could do with her. So all three of them feel like you just didn't want to do anything with them. There's definitely something you could have done with all of them, but like, Indy's in the middle of a thing right now. Like, her and Candace are on TV for the first time in months.
That was the one that I think people felt like they pulled the rug out the most. Like,
it feels
it was
so
weird
to release her right now when she, like, is a part of something.
A program.
And also,
finally.
This what sucks about this is, like, Candace and Indy have been seen as a package deal. Yeah. She and Indy together are now helping Nia with her dirty work. Do you just pretend Indy winked out of existence and Candace keeps doing the thing with Nia, or does Candace just recede back into the background and we don't see her on TV for another 6 months? Like, either way, it's bad, but yeah. I don't like this for Candace at all.
Yeah, I had that same thought and concern as well. Somebody on Sean's breaking news thing earlier when he went into this had mentioned, like, oh man, everybody Becky tried to put over in her NXT title run, like Xia Li and Tegan, like, that's a bummer. So best of luck to them.
Once Becky is gone and they don't have somebody like Becky advocating for them, well, like, we have to please Becky. If Becky says, I want to work with these women, then we let her work with them. But once Becky's gone, then that's it. We don't need
kind
you anymore.
Just fade in the background.
Which really sucks. But, like, if you look at it from that lens, it's
the evidence is there. Yeah.
Look at Lyra Valkyria's place on the card now and what it was before Becky left. Like, Becky advocates for her girls and they listen to her because she's Becky Lynch. When Becky's gone, they just, you know, like, they slip down the card, they're not used, they're released, whatever. And that kind of sucks.
That is a bummer.
Go
ahead. I was going to ask about Rampage, but you weigh in first.
I just think, Alex, at the end of the day, I think this new corporate structure for WWE is a lot different than what we used to be before, where, you know, you had the old man kind of make the cuts of, like, why, you know, just get rid of them. Now I think it's more of a, like, they're looking down at a spreadsheet. They have someone sitting at a spreadsheet looking at numbers and saying, goodbye, 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 goodbye. And they'll just send that list down to whomever, whether it's Triple H or whoever down below, PR, and saying, hey, you know what you got to do. And it's unfortunate because
promotion fumbles. Like, every promotion fumbles.
And I just want to say this. I got into some arguments, like always, because I love arguing. It's my number one thing. People don't necessarily have to like their jobs, okay? Like, people work every single day at a job because they have to put food on the table and a roof over their head, right? So the thought process that because they work at WWE, like, You know what I'm saying? Like they weren't happy. Like the whole thing with Samantha Irving. People are hating on her because she just said, "Yeah, I just don't like it there." Right. Same thing goes with like these wrestlers are like they're there, they're doing their thing, they're happy. But if they don't like it, they don't like it. Same thing. If you get released, they're gonna get released. Eventually, they'll say something like, "I wasn't being used. I kind of didn't like that," and people will harp on them. Joe, these
but
are
Montez
workers,
Ford
you know
just
saying?
Said like, "I love WWE. I know. It's my dream job, but I'm frustrated." Like,
yeah,
that happens.
Yeah.
That happens in every wrestling company.
Yeah, but in other words, just yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're right. People need to be more normal around things. Like at the end of the day, dream jobs are still jobs, right? Like,
yeah,
that is how it goes. So be sensitive when people have lost their dream jobs as well. Anything from Rampage, Pulaski, that you want to call out?
Oh, they're really teasing this whole top flight splitting or basically three of the four guys want to be bad now. And Dante's like, "I don't think we should be bad guys." And Darius is like, "I think we should hear out these other two very evil men." Because Action Andretti ripped the rib tape off of Alex Reynolds and like that's very aggressive and used the damaged ribs to get the victory for Top Flight. Leo Rush now lost clean to Commander and is really, really angry about having lost and something needs to change mode. Darius was like, because Dante did not like the ripping off of the rib tape.
Of course.
So he got up in Action Andretti's face and Darius tried to play peacemaker, but you could tell he's on Action Andretti's side and not his brother. But however, he would like his brother to join them in being bad guys. So we'll see if Dante like splits away or joins in the evilness, but
TBD. My TBD. Sister has certainly convinced me to become evil on several occasions. So
you should, we'll especially with your dark hair.
I know now I'm a heel because I have red hair. Yeah. Again,
you are a heel.
Oh yeah, Deanna and Taya Valkyrie are known as the Vendetta.
Ooh,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's Vendetta or if they're Linda-ing it. And making
the Vendetta.
Is it Vendetta or is it the Vendetta? I don't know which one it is, but I like either one. And also then Stokely showed up after Taya Valkyrie destroyed some poor woman backstage. Stokely walked up and said, "You know, I heard her backstage before the match. She was saying all kinds of terrible stuff about you." So Taya went back out there and then did two more curb stomps to her. I'm not really sure exactly what all of this has happened, but that's
I can't say enough as someone that watches and reviews the ROH product. I've said a lot of things on my overall thoughts on what they're doing with ROH. The work that Taya Valkyrie did to get herself right and to reaching the ceiling that we know she's capable of. When she first came over to AEW, it felt like she was just like a step off or so. Her work in ROH on every front was so fantastic. In-ring, character-wise, when she was valeting for Johnny, she's unreal. And it was a pleasure to watch her grow into the star that like we know and love. To kind of rediscover that on this path was awesome. And her and Deanna as a duo, sign me up all day, but...
Yeah.
We are going to get into this main event. Over 8,000 of you watching across platforms right now. Thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate it.
Word.
At the top of the show, Sean had kind of recapped some of what was going on with the releases. He told you about what's going on with Baron Corbin's contract expiring as clarification and the two ladies releases with Tegan Nox and Indy Hartwell. Had a little bit more color to add to those. He did a separate stream earlier today, but he will be reviewing the pay-per-view Crown Jewel tomorrow with Andrew Padala on the main, but catch me and Alex Pulaski behind the paywall doing Sands of Blind. We already plugged it a couple times, but you're not going to want to miss it because we've got some lies already cooking. Okay.
No. If you want to see me crash and burn, tomorrow is the time. Because there are too many options for these things. There's not like, "Oh, I don't know how I'm going to lie about this." Just there are two options. Either Goldberg costs Gunther or KO costs Cody.
Stop. No.
Pick one of them. Tell me, and I'll probably believe.
It depends. There's so much lie detecting math that you have to do.
I do a lot of lie detecting math.
Chris Jericho came in.
so much fun with that show. So please join us on Fightful Select. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. For
you're very welcome. I'll see you all tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
Bye.
Bye. I'll meet Normus with an Alex-related chat because it's about Rampage, saying, hello, Bangs Clavicles Collective, the BCC over here.
The
also, hello,
BCC.
The Linder. Sorry that we didn't pull this up earlier. I'm going to make wild boar sausage and watch Rampage. Ooh. I hear Beef was on the show. Let's freaking go. Beef, a very charismatic wrestler. Very, very, very fun. Very funny on ROH all the time. Doing a great job. Tom LaValle saying Stokely stirring the pot was so fun. He's very, very good at being a conniving little sneak that Stokely Hathaway. Always up to something, that guy. But let's talk about this women's four-way and our main event. Like I said, 32 minutes between matches was too many. Wow. But we have Bianca Belair taking out Lash Legend with the KOD and Io hitting the over the moonsault on Bianca Belair and then pinning Lash for the win. I cannot say enough about how great Io Sky has been. She's always been great, but like there's just been this extra renewed appreciation for her. I think because we have like Charlotte's out, Becky's out, Raw is feeling a little bit parched on the women's side. Damage Control split up and it was really up to Io to kind of sustain it with Asuka being out and Kairi Sane was injured there for a minute. I feel like she's done a phenomenal job and seeing her wrestle is always a pleasure. Kind of figured this one was going to go this way. My heart is always rooting for Chelsea Green and Piper a little bit, but what did you think of our women's four-way? I thought this match was great once we finally got to it.
The women do their thing, man. The women be doing their thing. That's all I got to say. I want more of them on the screen. I think Piper Niven did it insane. Man,
yeah,
she's so good in the ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's unfortunate that just her and Chelsea right now are just there. I don't know. Maybe once they take the tag team belts off of, you know, Bianca and Jade, what happens next with that? But it's slow burn, super slow burn, especially for these two.
That's the problem. I feel like we're having a lot of the women's tag matches show out, but it's hard to believe that Jade and Bianca are going to lose to anybody. So kind of zaps the fun out of it a little bit, but is what it is. Guys, we're coming down the home stretch. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I know this was a little bit of a different show with Sean updating us on the recent departures from WWE and this being a go-home. So much going on, but we are at the end of SmackDown talking about this tag match that we had with Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton standing tall over Imperium, Gunther, and of course Ludwig Kaiser. I figured Gunther was going to win already anyway. I was kind of aligned with the BetOnline AG odds on this. But now that we had Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton standing tall, I'm even more convinced. I'm even more convinced that that's the case. I kind of like that. That's the way. I didn't think that's how they were going to book it. I thought for sure, like, All-American Cody Rhodes was going to win in Saudi Arabia. But it's so important to me that Gunther feels like such an unbeatable champion. Where Cody Rhodes, I think, will probably have Kevin Owens cost him, and I feel like he'll be able to eat that loss just fine. This is not all that meaningful of a thing, but the way the story's been built out went against my initial expectations, and I'm fine with that. I would love for Gunther to win this. What did you think of our main event here?
I think it was just fine. Again, this is just like, unfortunately for me, like the women's match is just like, cool, we're gonna fight for the AEW Dynamite ring here and just see who wins it and gets to take it home and hopefully not lose it and beat each other up with it. Like, you use the ring. I hope that the ring gets used in storyline, since this is one of the most prestigious belts I've ever seen in the history of wrestling.
They've sure told us it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this going to be like a middle ground to set up a KO versus Cody? You know, if it is, great. But
it
other
feels
than that,
like a stepping stone to that.
Yeah,
I'm doubtful that we will see this ever mentioned outside of Saudi Arabia. Maybe like in promos or whatever. I don't think that that ring is coming into play. I would love it to, but this feels like something they've created purely for the Saudi Arabia crowd, in my opinion. But we will see. We will see. But that brings us to the end of our show, guys. So many streams that occurred today here on the Fightful YouTube channel. You had Grapsody on at a special time today. You had Sean doing his breaking news update about what we talked about earlier. You had this show going on. There's been so much happening on this Fightful YouTube channel. And it doesn't stop there, because you've got Sean and Drew Badala reviewing Crown Jewel tomorrow. You're going to have your Collision post show as well. Got me and Alex Pulaski on Fightful Select, as we've told you several times at this point. But Cardoza, where can the people find you?
You can find me right now in South Carolina.
Hell yeah.
baking the clavicles in the sun. But all in all, yeah, you guys can follow me. Everything is Alexis Cardoza on Instagram and Threads. That's where mainly I'm making my living now. I try to use Twitter as little as possible. And yeah, and then you could also check me out on thatwasprettyjolly.com. Again, thatwasprettyjolly.com. We're on episode 5, I believe, right now. We just spoke about A Nightmare Before Christmas. And now that the holiday season is ramping up, you guys go check that out. You can listen on any podcast platform, or you can watch on Freddie Prinze Jr.'s Geghead channel, where there's a lot of good stuff on there.
Guys, you can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. It looks like Marco Stunt announced his retirement as we're about to get off
offline
here. He released a little tweet with Notes app and some very sweet and sincere words, that looks like. So congratulations on your retirement, Marco Stunt. Thank you for what you've done for wrestling. We appreciate you.
Hey, second lieutenant, I'm not dropping anything, right? I'm just saying that's where the show lives. That's all I'm saying.
That's it. That's it. But you can catch me on Fightful Select tomorrow. Join us for that. Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Check out my own YouTube channel, because there's some stuff dropping on Monday there that you might want to check out, at Miss Kate Fabe on YouTube as well. We're going to run down some improvements I think WWE and AEW can make. So we got 5 things that WWE could be doing better that aren't creative, just like as a company, and then 5 that AEW could be doing better that'll drop on Wednesday. So head over to my YouTube channel, all positive, all constructive things, not any whining or negativity like that over there. So,
well, why would anyone want to watch then? If you're not whining,
be surprised. But guys, have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Stay tuned to Fightful YouTube. There's so many shows going on this weekend. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We are out of here.